Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
How many had a good Christmas? Doesn't it seem like it was a long time ago? Seems like it was ages ago, but it's just been a few days. We had a wonderful time going back to northwest Iowa and southeastern South Dakota, visiting both of our parents and brothers and sisters. And just want to say thanks to Pastor Daniel for filling in for me. How many like Ebenezer Scrooge? Was that pretty cool? He did a fantastic job. And how many are looking forward to the Ghost of Christmas Future? You want to see God do something this year? Amen. Amen. Well, this is 2019, and today we're starting a new series called Fast and Furious. And we're not talking about my driving, okay? We're going to talk about fasting, the importance of fasting, understanding what fasting does for us, and the importance of coupling it with prayer. And it's very, very vital. And this Wednesday night, I encourage you, on the back of your bulletins is a prayer guide. The Assemblies of God issues for the week of prayer. This is a week of prayer. They ask our churches to dedicate at least 1 week to prayer. We're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting. But if you say, I really don't know what to pray for, on the back of your bulletin, there is a prayer guide, something you can pray Sunday through Saturday this week. You could actually use it every week if you wanted to. But we also encourage you to pick something specific that you want God to do in your life in these next 21 days and pursue it in fasting. And we're going to be talking about that this service, because here's what I believe, and this is in your sermon insert. We have a special sermon insert today. You say, what does fasting do? Fasting is powerful. It accelerates the impact of prayer. You think of the movies. How many have seen a Fast and Furious movie? How many know they accelerate? Yeah, they accelerate. When we fast, things get furious in the kingdom of God. Fasting accelerates the power of prayer. And we're going to see that for the next several weeks here. I personally have gone on several different extended fasts, and I can say that I have seen God do some incredibly powerful stuff, stuff that I never saw would even come down the pike when I entered into the fast, how God took a situation, a problem I was facing, and just totally removed it out of the way. And I've seen God bring deliverance. I've seen God bring breakthroughs when I fast and when other people fast. Fasting is a powerful weapon in the believer's arsenal, but it is something that many Christians, not only do we not understand it, but we don't practice it. And part of the reason we don't practice it is because we've never been taught it, and we really don't know how to do it, and it just seems so foreign. But fasting is vitally important. It accelerates the impact of prayer. And there's three things I want to talk about this morning as we talk about the importance of fasting. If you're taking notes today, point number one is the principle of fasting. And here's the principle of fasting. It's a normal part of the Christian life. Fasting is a normal part of the Christian life. So many times we think of that fasting is for the super saints. It's for the pastor. It's for the missionary overseas. It's for the evangelist. Or it's for just for the board members, for the deacons, or the ministry leaders, or it's for those who are really, really God. You know, they go around and they talk about God. That's how they talk. And, you know, that's what fasting is for. But fasting is not for super saints. It's for the body of Christ. It's for each and every single one of us. God expects all of us to fast. And turn on your Bible to Matthew chapter 17. We want to take a look at this. We want to unpack this principle of fasting. And as we do, there's three things under this. Letter A, in the Bible, fasting occurred during the burdens of life that demanded a spiritual breakthrough. When the saints of God faced a problem, faced a tragedy, faced a situation that loomed large in their life, a burden of life, they went to God in fasting and prayer. Abraham fasted. Ezra fasted, Nehemiah fasted, Daniel fasted, Esther, Hannah, Joel, David, Paul. When these people encountered a burden in life, they fasted. And they fasted about many different things. Sometimes they were physical, fasting for healing, fasting for protection, fasting sometimes for emotional things, fasting, they needed an emotional breakthrough. Some needed a financial breakthrough. Some needed a relational breakthrough. There's times people fasted for ministry. There's times people fasted for direction. God, I don't know what to do, where to go. Show me what to do. Give me your will, Father God. Sometimes people would fast for spiritual reasons. How many have ever, in your life, you've been praying and seeking God, and it seems like you're going nowhere? Your spiritual life is dull, it's stagnant, it's plateaued, God isn't answering anything. How many have experienced that situation in your life before? Do a spiritual fast, saying, God, I just need more of you. I need a spiritual breakthrough in my life. Fasting is something the saints of God do when they need a breakthrough in the burdens of life. We see this in Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 14. It says, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Some of you this morning, you have a mountain that you're facing in life. And God says, have you tried prayer and fasting? Some of you are saying, God, give me direction. Show me what to do. Some of you are saying, my marriage is really difficult right now. It's not healthy. We're struggling. We're fighting. God says, this mountain can be removed. I want you to think this morning, behind us, if we go out those doors, behind us is Casper Mountain. Beautiful Casper Mountain. I love looking at the mountain. How many enjoy the mountain? Do you realize there are things in our lives, that mountain is immovable. We can't move it. There are things in our lives that are so big, so large, that we have absolutely no power over it. But Jesus says, if you pray, if you fast, you can speak to the mountain in your life. It'll move from here to there. God will pick up that thing in your life that's been an obstacle, that's been a roadblock, that seems so big, so huge, so impossible, and God can take it out of the way and give you a breakthrough. That's the power of fasting. Jesus said, if you need a breakthrough in life, if you need a mountain move from your life, then go to God in prayer and fasting, because fasting accelerates the impact of prayer. How many of you need some kind of breakthrough in 2019? Put your hand up. Several of you. I encourage you in these next 21 days of prayer and fasting to pray and fast for the breakthrough that you need God to perform in your life. So let's break it down a little bit. What is fasting? What does it mean to fast? Letter B in your notes. Fasting is a deliberate, intentional abstinence from physical gratification to achieve a greater spiritual goal. It's a deliberate, intentional abstinence. You're putting something physical, some sort of physical gratification, something that satisfies you physically, and you're saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm setting it aside because there's a greater spiritual goal. It's a denial of the flesh in order to gain a response in the spirit. It's renouncing the natural to evoke the supernatural. It's when you say no to you and you say yes to God so you can hear God. It's the way God's presence is involved in the burdens of life when you need a breakthrough, when you need a spiritual solution. That's what fasting is. And here's the thing. Some of you say, well, I don't have a burden right now. How many of you have ever had a burden somewhere, sometime, someplace in your life? Raise your hand. That's pretty much all of us, okay? Did you know that we're supposed to pray and fast when we go through a difficult time? Jesus expects us to fast. Letter C, Jesus expects us to fast. Every one of us. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 and 15, the disciples of John came to Jesus saying, well, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples, Peter, James, John, you know, Nathan, all those guys, why do they not fast? Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Now, who are the friends of the bridegroom? First, who is the bridegroom here Jesus is talking about? Jesus is the bridegroom. Who are the friends of the bridegroom? You and me. It's not just his disciples. It's all of us who are God followers, all of us who are Christians. We are the friends of the bridegroom. We're the friends of Jesus. And he says, can the friends of the bridegroom, can you and me mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Jesus said, there is a time coming on the planet when I will no longer be here physically. And because my disciples can't come to me face to face and have a one-on-one with me, they need a connection with me. And the way to achieve that connection, since I'm not here physically, is to do it in the spiritual, and it's to do it through fasting. When you need a connection with God, then you fast so that you can gain that connection and have the breakthrough in what it is you need from me. Jesus expects us to fast. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said to his disciples, and it's interesting, Jesus was teaching them about prayer. Jesus was teaching them about doing charitable deeds and all these things. And notice what he says in verse 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast. Jesus didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. That's kind of like saying, when you pay your taxes, okay? How many know it's not an if you pay your taxes? It's a when. It might be now, it might be a long time later with compounded interest, but you will pay your taxes, okay? It's not if, it's when. And Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast, he expected his followers to fast. It wasn't an option. And he mentions fasting with prayer and charitable deeds. It's just part of the normal Christian life. It says, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Surely I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you fast, he said it again, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Now, some of you are saying, well, you've just announced publicly we should be fasting and praying for 21 days, but since it's supposed to be done in private, I'm not going to do it. Don't be a fuddy-duddy, okay? Don't go out. You can fast and pray, but you don't have to go out and tell people, you know what? I'm giving up. I'm giving up meat. I'm giving up coffee. I'm giving up television. No, don't tell anyone what you're fasting about. And normally when you fast, you don't let anybody know you're fasting. I've gone on extended fast. I've told a couple people, but I tell those people as prayer partners, because here's the thing. When you go on an extended fast, you encounter heavy-duty spiritual warfare, and you need people praying for you as you are fasting. You need to be undergird of people praying for you. So I tell a couple people, but nobody knows when I'm going on extended fast. Nobody knows. And there's some people, the Pharisees, they'd put on makeup, they'd put black under their eyes, and you know, they just look, oh, I'm so weak, oh, I'm fasting for God. And Jesus says, no, wash your face, do your hair, take a shower, put on good clothes, walk with a spring in your step so people don't know that you're fasting. Because it's not something you're doing for men, you're doing it for God. When you fast, when the bridegroom is gone, then his friends will fast. Fasting is expected. It's a normal part of our life where we deny something physical to gain something greater in the spiritual. It's done when we need a breakthrough in the burdens of life. That is the practice or the principle of fasting. Number two, let's talk about the purpose. What is the purpose of fasting? The purpose of fasting is to seek God. It's to seek God. Fasting is not about you getting what you want. Fasting is not about, this is what God will do for me. Now, yes, you have a need, you have a burden, and you go to God and you pray about it, but here's the thing. As you pray, you're saying, God, I want your answer to my burden, not my answer. Because so many times our answer is so short-sighted and does not include the totality of what God has in store. So when you go to God and you fast and you pray, you're saying, God, I want your will in this situation. I don't know how, I don't know where, but God, I'm depending upon you to work your will out. I'm seeking you. My goal is God, it's not my goal. It's not my prayer request. It's not my result. It's a relationship with you, a closer relationship with you, God. And as I get closer to you, God, I know you're going to work all things together for good. We see a great example of this in Zechariah chapter 7, verses 5 through 6. In this passage, the Lord challenges Israel about their motives for fasting when they were in captivity for 70 years. He says, you weren't fasting for me. You were doing it for yourselves, for your own selfish motives. It says, say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and 7 months during those 7 years, did you really fast for me? For me? He emphasized, did you really fast for me? When you eat, when you drink, do not eat and drink for yourselves. After church today, you're going to go home and get dinner, if you're not fasting. And you're going to eat. When you sit down to eat, there's only one person you're thinking of. Actually, there's three people. Me, myself, and I. When I sit down to eat, I'm not thinking about Pastor Daniel or Pastor Josh. I'm not thinking, as you sit down and you're salivating over your roast beef dinner, you're not thinking, I wonder what the members of Casper Faith are doing right now. No, when you sit down to eat, you're thinking about yourself. You have heard the cry of the belly, and you have bowed and said, I will be obedient, and I will feed the beast. That's what, when we are hungry, when we eat for ourselves. We eat to satisfy ourselves. Do you remember when you were a kid and mom said, it's dinner? What'd you do? You came running. You were hungry. Unless your mom's a bad cook, you know. But, you know, when that school lunch bell rings, you're hungry. You go. When it comes to eating, it gets our attention. You're driving home. And you drive past that restaurant and you smell that pizza or that Chinese or the barbecue. And you're going, oh, and it gets your attention. You see, when we eat for ourselves. We eat to satisfy ourselves. But God says, when you fast, you're doing it for me. You see, just as eating gets our attention, fasting, not eating, gets God's attention. Just as we eat to satisfy ourselves, we fast to satisfy God. Just as we eat to please ourselves and to, it's all about us. When we fast, it's all about God and what God wants in our lives. And so when we fast, we're not saying, God, this is what you got to do for me. No, you're saying, God, yes, I've got this problem, I got this need, but I want you, I want your plan, I want your person, I want your purpose, I want your solution more than anything else. I want you. And that's why we fast. When we fast, it is for God. Here's the theology behind fasting, why fasting works. We have a physical body, and it's been calculated. Someone once calculated what our body is worth. If you just took the physical human body, the minerals, the materials that make us up, $3.70 is what someone once said your physical body is worth, okay? But when God created man, he just didn't create a body. He breathed his spirit into man. Man became a living being. We're created in the image of God. And so we are a soul that lives in a physical body. And the soul is the part of you that makes you valuable. Your soul is what is important, the thing that has worth. Our body is worth very little. But what we do is we cram the body. We feed the body. How many crammed the body over Christmas and said, I crammed it too much? Yeah. Some of us could use fasting or, you know, for the next few days. It would help for the Christmas weight gain. But here's the thing. We feed the body. We focus on the body. We say the body needs more makeup. The body needs more clothes. The body needs air conditioning. The body needs more heat, less heat. It's all about pleasing the body. But here's the thing. We're starving our souls. And God says, when you fast, you're saying this body, I'm saying no to the body because I want something spiritual. I'm prioritizing the spiritual. I'm denying the physical so I can gain something spiritual. I'm saying, God, you're more important than food. God, you're more important to me than myself. I want you more than I want to please me. That's why fasting works. You cannot build a skyscraper on the foundation of a chicken coop. Right? If you want to build a skyscraper, you need a massive foundation. Here's the thing. Some of us, we want to be super skyscraper Christians, but don't want to pay the price and build a foundation that can sustain it. We're focused on the physical, not the spiritual. Fasting is a way to say, God, I want you to build a bigger foundation, a wider foundation, a deeper foundation, so that I can go higher for you. God, I want you more in my life. In your notes, when you fast, you deny yourself and you depend upon God. How many have ever skipped a meal before? Some of you have. And what happens? Your stomach begins to rumble. And you feel a little weak and it's hard to concentrate, right? See, you depend on that food to give you the energy to make it through the day. But when you're fasting, you're saying, God, I am now depending on you to give me the physical energy I need to make it through this day. And what's even more, I can guarantee some of you, you have had something really important, a deadline you had to get done by the end of the day, and so you skipped a meal. Maybe it was a deadline. Maybe it was a contract or a deal you're working on. If you're a student, maybe it's a paper or a project or something. How many have had such an important project, a deadline looming by the end of the day, that you says, I'm skipping lunch. I don't have time for lunch because this deal, this paper, this project's more important. How many have ever done something like that before? Yeah, many of us have. Friends, God says, if that's what you do in the natural, it also works in the spiritual. When you say, God, you're more important to me, so I am skipping this meal. I'm fasting this meal so that I can have you. I am now not depending on me working. I am going to pray during that time when I would have been eating, and I'm depending on you to work in that situation. Prayer and fasting is a denying of self, and it's a depending upon God. Fasting really shows that we're serious about God. And as we look at 2019, our theme for 2019, we have it there in your notes, our theme for 2019 is seek the King, see the kingdom. Seek the King and see the kingdom. Here's the thing. We're going to talk about that more in depth next week. But God says, when you fast, who are you doing it for? Are you really seeking me? Are you really serious about having me and what I have for you? Fasting is about seeking God. All right, let's look at the practice of fasting. Let's wrap this up. The practice of fasting. What do I do when I fast? There's many different types of fasting. I have them listed there in your notes so that you can see and you don't have to write them down. But you can fast certain kinds of food. Maybe you're saying these next 21 days, I'm going to fast pop. I'm going to fast coffee. I'm going to fast sweets, desserts, whatever it is. Maybe it's a certain kind of food. Now, here's the thing. If it doesn't hurt you, it's not a fast. I don't drink coffee. I hate coffee. So to say, well, I'm fasting coffee for the next 21 days. I mean, hey, that doesn't matter. I've fasted coffee for the past 21 years. Yes, I'm so holy. Thank you. I don't. No, I don't like coffee. It's not a sacrifice. And if it doesn't hurt you physically, it's not going to gain you anything spiritually. So it has to be something that is denying your flesh, that's denying you gratification, something that satisfies you. And so maybe you're going to give up a certain kind of food, or maybe you're saying, I'm going to give up a certain meal every day. Or maybe you're saying, I'm going to give up certain kinds of food for an extended period of time. There is something that's called a Daniel fast, where you do what Daniel did. He only ate vegetables. Some people modify it and say, well, I'm going to eat fruits and vegetables. Or I'm going to do a Daniel fast in dairy so I can have cheese and cottage cheese and you know, that kind of thing. And so maybe you're doing Daniel and dairy. Maybe some of you would say, I'm only doing liquids. Only liquids, that's all I'm going to do. Or maybe you'd say, for 3 days, I'm going to do only liquids, and then another 3 days, I'm going to do the Daniel, and then I'm just going to go back and forth. Or maybe I'm going to do a week of this, and then a week of that. There's many different ways that you can fast food. And I just encourage you to say, God, what do you want me to give up for you? I want you more. I want a breakthrough. What kind of food? What do you want to do in my life? Or maybe yours is not a food fast. Maybe it's a media fast. Maybe God says, I want you to give up television. Give up movies. Give up Netflix. Give up Facebook. Some of you spend an hour a day on Facebook or 30 minutes a day. God says fast. And in that time when you'd be watching TV or doing Facebook, you're praying instead. Maybe God would say, give up video games or give up your phone game. I mean, how many you could give up? Your Candy Crush for the next 21 days, huh? Or your Sudoku, you know, all those different things that you do, the games you play that just waste time. And you could say, you know what? I'm going to die to myself, to what's fun, what's pleasurable for me, and I'm going to spend that time fasting for God to do something in 2019. Another fast is fasting from sex. Now, if you're single, you're already doing that one, okay? This is for married couples, all right? And married couples, when you fast this, when you do a fast from physical intimacy, it's for a specified period of time that you agree upon, and then when it's over, then you re-engage, okay? It's not indefinite, oh, until Jesus comes. No. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. But those are some different types of fasts that we can do. And when you fast, let her be, it's important that you couple fasting with intense prayer. Now, yes, some of us probably could lose some weight after Christmas. I know I could. But here's the thing. Fasting's not a diet plan. All right? If you don't do more praying when you're fasting, whatever it is, it does no value because it's about seeking God. It's coupling. This mountain is moved by prayer and fasting. And it's not just, oh God, give me a breakthrough. God, deliver me of cigarettes. God, deliver me of that. God, heal my body. God, no, it's intense prayer. I want you to listen to the intensity of these prayers. Psalm 69, verse 10. 13 to 15, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. See, the psalmist was so intense in his prayer, he was crying. And the word chasten means to discipline. He was saying, it's like I'm spanking myself. It hurts when I'm fasting. He says, I'm chastening my soul. There is an intensity about this. That became my reproach. As for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and don't let me sink. I'm drowning. He says, you have let me be delivered from those who hate me. out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and don't let the pit shut its mouth on me. The psalmist says, man, the world's closing in. I'm drowning. I'm going down. There is a desperateness about his prayer. And when we fast, God wants us to intensely pray, not just mealy-mouthed prayers, but we're really going after God. In Joel chapter 2, we see the intensity here. It says, that's why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God. He's merciful, compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows, perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of a curse. Perhaps you'll be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord as your God as before. When you read Joel chapter 1, it talks about all these different plagues of locusts came in, and they swallowed up all the crops and produce in the land. And he says, as you're praying to God, you're praying and saying, God, restore us. God, help us. We're going to die without you. And maybe God will let your crops come back, and then you can offer these grain offerings and these different offerings to God. There's an intensity there. It says in verse 15, blow the ram's horn in Jerusalem, announce a time of fasting, call the people together for a solemn meeting, gather all the people, the elders, the children, even the babies. Bring Ethan. Bring Trey, the little guys you just saw up here for child dedication. Bring the babies. Bring everybody. Call the bridegroom from his quarters and the bride from her private room. He's saying, stop the wedding. Don't go on the honeymoon. How many know that's intense prayer, huh? But that's what he's saying. He says, and he says, the priests who minister in the Lord's presence, let them stand and weep before the entry room. Let them pray, spare your people, Lord. Don't let your special possession become an object of mockery. Don't let them become a joke for unbelieving foreigners who say, has the God of Israel left them? Fasting needs to be coupled with intense prayer. Intense prayer. And then the last practice that we see is that fasting is not magic. It's not, oh, I fasted, and boom, and at the end of 21 days, God gave me what I wanted. No, it's not a magic bullet. It's not a magic potion. It's not you put a quarter in, and God gives you what you want out of his vending machine. We see in Luke chapter 2, verse 37, a woman named Anna, and she was a widow. She had been married for 7 years, and then she was a widow. And it says that she, being a widow for 84 years, she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And finally, after decades of fasting, she saw the Messiah. It wasn't just this magic potion of boom, it's done. No. You're saying, God, I'm fasting for you. There have been a lot of fasts I've went on. I was obedient to God, fasted 3 days, fasted a week, whatever. And I cannot point to any tangible result that God accomplished in that fast. Several times. Nothing happened that I could see in the natural. But you know something? I can guarantee that those times I fasted, many times, there was a greater closeness with God than I ever had before. And when you go on an extended fast of something, man, God draws near to you, and you get this closeness in your relationship that is unrivaled by anything else. If you're fasting for the right motives, and if you're praying intensely and seeking him and his ways. A story is told of two lumberjacks. One was older, the other was younger. And the younger had gotten so good at chopping down trees that he felt, I can take the older, because this older was the statesman of the forest, and he was the guy to beat. And finally, the younger one thought, okay, I'm ready. I can take him. He's getting old. I'm strong. I'm experienced. I can do this. So he throws out a challenge to the older lumberjack and says, hey, let's have a competition here. See who can cut down the most trees in one day. So the older guy says, yeah, sure, let's do it. And they start off in the morning, and I tell you, the young guy, he went to town, he chopped trees all day, he cut down a lot of trees, and he knew that he was in good shape. After the first hour, the old guy stopped and he sat down and he rested. And he sat there, not 5 minutes, not 10 minutes, but he sat there 15 minutes. And then he got up and started chopping trees again. And here's the thing. After every hour of chopping trees, the old guy sat down for another 15-minute break. But when the end of the day came, the older lumberjack had cut down one-third more trees than the younger lumberjack. And he was miffed. He was ticked off. He says, okay, you got to tell me, how did you do it? I mean, you cut an hour and then you rested for 15 minutes. How did you do it? How did you beat me? How'd you cut down so many trees? And the older lumberjack says, because when I was sitting down for 15 minutes, the entire time I was sharpening my axe. And friends, that's what fasting and prayer does. You cease from your work, from your striving, from your chopping. Oh, I got to do more. Got to accomplish more. God, you got to give me a deliverance. You got to knock this forest down. God, you got to clear out the way. I don't know how it's going to happen. Man, I'm doing it myself. And you say, no, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop my work and I'm going to pray. I'm going to die to myself. And I'm fasting and I'm saying, God, I depend upon you. God, you can do it. You do more than I can do in my own power. And in that time of denying your flesh, denying your physical, God does something in the spiritual and gives a breakthrough. What breakthrough do you need in 2019? That's the question at the bottom of your notes this morning. What breakthrough do you need in 2019. A lot of us, we've been working hard, chopping down trees, and feeling we're not accomplishing much. We've been sharpening our axe. We look at someone else who doesn't appear to be working as hard and doing as much as we are, but they're still seeing God do great things. Maybe it's because they're ceasing from their labor and they're depending on God. What do you need God to break through in your life? There's some of you here today. You have a son or a daughter who's not serving God. And you've been preaching to them. You've been talking to them, slipping them this book, doing that. Have you fasted and prayed? John Lutz gave a great devotional in men's breakfast yesterday about what are you building your life on, the rock or the sand. Start praying, God, let my son, let my daughter begin to taste the sand. You ever did a face plant on the beach and got sand in your mouth? Or got sand in your eye? Or sand in your shoe? I mean, it's disgusting. God, let him taste the sand of the world. That it's horrible. Let him feel the irritation in their feet that where they're going, is it doesn't feel good. It's not right. Let them be irritated in their eyes so that, man, this is not good. And they leave the sand and they go to the rock. Begin to fast and pray for your loved ones. The Bible says you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your house will be saved. Fast and pray for that loved one who's away from God. Maybe you're here this morning and your marriage is on the rocks and you say, man, Craig, you don't know about what we're going through. We have personalities that clash. We're so opposite. We're polar opposites. It can't work. It's impossible. God defies the odds. He speaks to the mountain, and the mountain is cast down. And what you need is you need a time of fasting. You go on an intimacy fast, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians 7:5. You don't need a divorce. You need a fast from physical intimacy. And you're praying, and you're saying, God, we don't get along. We can't get along. We don't get along. But God, you made us. You know us. You can work in us. You can change us. You can do the impossible. Your love forgave us of all of our sin. You can give us that same love that forgives each other. You laid down your life for us. That love is in us. I can lay down my life. She can lay down her life. We can lay down our lives. And God, you can do a work in us. Some of you, you're struggling with some sort of an addiction, drugs, alcohol. You've tried every 12-step program. You've read books. You've went to counselors. You've taken medication, whatever the situation might be, and it doesn't work. And you say, God, this mountain, I've tried everything and it can't be moved. Pray and fast. This mountain goes out by prayer and fasting. Friends, what do you need God to do in your life today? Are you bound by fear? Is there a dread when you go somewhere? Is there a depression? Is there anger? Is there swearing? What is it? Is it gossip? Is it bitterness? What do you need God to do? Maybe you need a breakthrough in your finances. God can give you the breakthrough. This morning, I want everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes. We want to pray right now. Father God, you are the God of the breakthrough. Jesus, you rose from the dead, and you show us that with God, all things are possible. That the mountain can be moved. It doesn't stand up to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would do something in us the next 21 days as we pray and fast and seek your face. You defy the odds, God. Give us victory. Take us deeper than we've ever been. I pray that 2019 is the best year of our lives ever. How many of you this morning, you'd say, I need a breakthrough in some area of my life, spiritually, physically, relationally, emotionally, directionally, ministry-wise. You need God to do something. You need the salvation of a loved one. Whatever it is, if you need deliverance from an addiction, from some sort of bad habit, I want you to put your hand high. Get it up. Get it up high. If you need a breakthrough, if you want God to do something, you say, God, I'm at my wit's end. Or, God, I don't know what to do. Maybe you haven't even thought about fasting because you didn't know anything about it. I see several hands up this morning. I want you to right now take a pen. I want you to write down on your notes, what's the breakthrough? It says, what breakthrough do you need in 2019? I want you to write it down right now, okay? Write it down. Here's the reason why. You need to put that in front of you. Habakkuk says, write the vision before you so that as you run, you can plainly read it. You don't lose sight of the vision. You don't lose sight of what you're praying for. And you want to write it down and write down, what are you going to fast? I'm going to fast media. I'm going to fast food. I'm going to fast lunch. I'm going to fast coffee. And just write down how you're going to fast. How are you going to seek God? Write it down so you're making the plan for these next 21 days.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.